Anyway, the teacher was restful company, since he didn't do much but clench and unclench his hands occasionally and whimper. "Something wrong with your neck, Captain?" said the chief beggar politely, as they waited for the coaches. "What?" said Vimes distractedly. "You keep on staring upwards," said the beggar. "Hm? Oh, no, nothing wrong," said Vimes. The beggar wrapped his velvet cloak around him. "You couldn't by any chance spare," he paused, calculating a sum in accordance with his station, "about $300 for a 12-course civic banquet, could you?" "No." Fair enough," said the chief beggar amiably. He sighed. It wasn't a rewarding job, being chief beggar. It was the differentials that did for you. Low-grade beggars made a reasonable enough living on pennies, but people tended to look the other way when you asked them for a 16-bedroom mansion for the night. Vimes resumed his study of the sky. Up on the dais, the high priest of Blind Io, who last night, by dint of elaborate ecumenical argument and eventually by a club with nails in it, had won the right to crown the king, fussed over his preparations. By the small portable sacrificial altar, a tethered billy goat was peacefully chewing the cud, and possibly thinking, in goat, "What a lucky billy goat I am, to be given such a good view of the proceedings. This is going to be something to tell the kids." Vimes scanned the diffused outlines of the nearest buildings. A distant cheering suggested that the ceremonial procession was on its way. There was a scuffle of activity around the dais as Lupine once chivied a scramble of servants who rolled a purple carpet down the steps. Across the square, among the ranks of Ankh Morpork's faded aristocracy, Lady Ramkin's face tilted upwards. Around the throne, which had been hastily created out of wood and gold foil, a number of lesser priests, some of them with slight head wounds, shuffled into position. Vimes shifted in his seat, aware of the sound of his own heartbeat, and glared at the haze over the river, and saw the wings. "Dear Mother and Father," wrote Carrot, in between staring dutifully into the fog, "well, the town is on fate for the coronation, which is more complicated than at home, and now I am on day duty as well. This is a shame, because I was going to watch the coronation with Reet, but it does not do to complain. I must go now, because we are expecting a dragon any minute, although it does not exist really. Your loving son, Carrot. P.S. Have you seen anything of Minty lately?"
"You idiot!"
"Sorry," said Vimes. "Sorry." People were climbing back into their seats, many of them giving him furious looks. Once was white with fury.
"How could you have been so stupid?"
he raged. Vimes stared at his own fingers. "I thought I saw..." he began.
"It was a raven. You know what ravens are? There must be hundreds of them in the city."
"In the fog, you see, the size wasn't so easy to..." Vimes mumbled.
"And poor Master Greetling, you ought to have known what loud noises do to him."
The head of the Teachers' Guild had to be led away by some kind people.
"Shouting out like that?"
Once went on. "Look, I said I'm sorry. It was an honest mistake.
I've had to hold up the procession and everything."
Vimes said nothing. He could feel hundreds of amused or unsympathetic eyes on him. "Well," he muttered, "I'd better be getting back to the yard." Once his eyes narrowed.
"No," he snapped. "But you can go home if you like, or anywhere your fancy takes you. Give me your badge."
"Hey?" Once held out his hand.
"Your badge," he repeated.
"My badge?
That's what I said. I want to keep you out of trouble."
Vimes looked at him in astonishment.
"But it's my badge."
"And you're going to give it to me," said Once grimly, "by order of the king."
"What you mean? He doesn't even know,"
Vimes heard the wailing in his own voice.
Once scowled. "But he will," he said, "and I don't expect he'll even bother to appoint a successor."
Vimes slowly unclipped the verdigris disc of copper, weighed it in his hand, and then tossed it to Once without a word. For a moment he considered pleading, but something rebelled. He turned and stalked off through the crowd. So that was it, as simple as that. After half a lifetime of service, no more city watch. Vimes kicked at the pavement. It'd be some sort of royal guard now, with plumes in their damned helmets. Well, he'd had enough. It wasn't a proper life anyway, in the watch. You didn't meet people in the best of circumstances. There must be hundreds of other things he could do, and if he thought for long enough, he could probably remember what some of them were. Pseudopolis Yard was off the route of the procession, and as he stumbled into the watch house, he could hear the distant cheering beyond the rooftops. Across the city, the temple gongs were being sounded.